Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less so you don't have to. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is Come to Daddy, and not to be mistaken with the song by the Apex Twins, Come to Daddy. Directed by Ant Timpson, written by Toby Harvard and Ant Timpson, starring Elijah Wood as Norval Greenwood, Stephen McHattie as Gordon, and Martin Donovan as Brian. The plot for this is about as basic as you're going to get. A man in his 30s travels to a remote cabin to reconnect with his estranged father. Doesn't really tell you much, but we're going to talk about it anyways. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Come to Daddy?
I'm very, very torn on this movie. We briefly discussed it before, but we were talking about how we were writing our notes for this movie, and it was towards the end of it, and we both realized that we really hadn't written anything. That's not a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing at all.
I'm not too thrilled about this movie. We watched it on request. And I told you, we got to stop letting people make requests because then we end up with this shit.
Hey, no, we had to balance it out, though, because we had all those banger movies and people are going to start thinking we're just giving 5 out of 5s willy-nilly. So we needed to get one in there that wasn't so great.
Well.
And yeah, and for those of our listeners, if you see like the notes that we have, we use this thing, Google Keep, whatever. We just put all our notes in there and then we talk about it. We just kind of go through. Evil Dead Rise was like scroll upon scroll. We were like noting fucking everything. This one, we probably could just chalk it up in about a paragraph.
Yeah, the best part of it is, and I think why every episode flows so well, is our notes are basically identical. We watch all of our movies separately and our notes end up being pretty much the same every time.
I know. It's actually pretty funny. So you and I, we think a lot alike when it comes to these movies. Here and there, we might have our differences with how we felt about a movie, but it seems like lately you and I are pretty much on the same page with a lot of these movies.
Yeah. So I've said what I thought about this movie. What'd you think?
I thought this movie was a little weird. You know, they say never judge a book by its cover. When I saw the cover of it, for some reason, it reminded me like of the look of like some sort of indie artsy movie, whatever. So when I thought of it, I didn't think horror. But they have like the overtones, whatever, on the cover, trying to make it seem like it's a scary movie. But honestly, an hour in, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It just seems like it was slow burn after slow burn. And then finally, the father, quote, end quote, grabs a cleaver and he's going after Norval, but he dies from a heart attack in the process. So I was like, okay, well, something happened. And then it proceeded to be like Norval moping around trying to figure out what to do. He's got a dead body in his house. He's laying next to trying to talk to the dead body. And it was just fucking weird. I thought it was going to be one of these things where he was going to go crazy and he was going to cause all sorts of fucking hell and thinking that there's actually people there but weren't and all this stuff. But none of that happened.
That's exactly where I thought it was going. I thought this all was going to be in his head.
I thought that, and I thought that would have been actually a great concept because maybe, yes, his father did write a letter to him, but maybe his father's been dead for a long time and he just went to his old house and he's thinking he's reconnecting, all this stuff. But no, dude, none of that happened.
That's another thing that kind of pissed me off is like the whole premise of this movie is Elijah Wood's character, Norval, getting a letter from his father who left him and his mother when he was 5 years old. So he's what he said, he's like 35 now in the movie. So he gets a letter from this dude just saying, come see me, blah, 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 blah. And he fucking does it.
I'm like, okay, no problem, dad.
And then the opening scene is literally Norval hiking through the woods with a full on luggage, like airport luggage shit. And he's literally hiking with it. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell was happening there. Honestly, first glance, I thought he was some sort of Amish person.
Okay. Was he going to go sell fucking fresh baked bread at the ocean?
Yeah, he was going to make a nice bench out of one of those trees he's hiking past, whatever. He had that really big hat on. And I was like, what is this guy's deal? But I guess he's maybe just some hipster DJ, whatever, that likes to wear vintage clothing and whatever. And so, yes, he's hiking through the woods, all these fucking bags to this remote cabin where his father lives. And let me tell you, that place was gorgeous looking. I would love to have a house that looked like that.
I was going to say, man, imagine living on the ocean with a view like that. That'd be amazing.
Oh, my God. That's $1 million house, yeah, or more or something like that. That was gorgeous. I couldn't even imagine just waking up in the morning, going on the porch and just looking out and going, fuck, there's the ocean basically right underneath me. Hopefully there's not a typhoon.
Yeah. Yeah. So also, I learned something while watching this movie right in the beginning.
Yeah, what did you learn?
That Elton John isn't his real name. Please tell me I'm not the only one that didn't know that. Don't flip.
I don't think you're the only one. I heard something about a different name, but I never knew it. So now I know that's his actual name. I mean, I didn't even Google it or anything. I'm going to assume because of how ridiculous the part was that it's his actual real name.
I did. It's like Reginald something. I went on Wikipedia, so it must be true. What'd you think of like the jokes? Like there was a joke during this scene that was fucking hilarious to me. I actually laughed a couple of times just at the jokes.
Oh yeah. Some of the jokes were great.
When they were sitting together and his dad was like, or the guy that's pretending to be his dad, he just goes, I got to take a crap and then let's go for a swim. And then he gets up and walks away.
I mean, is he wrong? Think about it.
Crap that's in the ocean. What's
you could crap. Yeah, actually, that's even more effective because I was thinking you take a crap and then you're like, fuck, I don't need to wipe. I jump into the ocean, get all cleaned up, good to go. You're just straight up skipping the bathroom entirely and just going straight for the ocean.
Ah, dude, just let it rip right in the ocean. I mean, it's going to break down. Maybe a fish is going to eat it. You never know, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's the algae, man.
It's just
eat
food.
It.
It's food.
Fish food.
Yeah. Just crap in the ocean.
Oh, God. And then people are eating fish at restaurants are like, what the fuck? This tastes like shit. But yes, I love some of these random fucking jokes that appeared in it. Like when his dad died and the cop is saying to him, I can burp on command if you want, you know, just to like cheer him up. And he does it anyways. So there was a lot of awkward comedy in it. It was still funny. Always good to throw in, you know, funny things like that. But yes, there was a lot of tension buildup in this movie. We've talked about this before where movies have these slow burns and there was a lot of tension building to these slow burns in this movie.
This was basically an hour and a half slow burn or however long it was with maybe like a 10-minute payoff.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, it was an hour 30 something minutes. So an hour and 20 of that was like, okay, what the fuck? Is something happening here? And that's basically what happened. So
yeah, I didn't hate this movie. Like it's not anchor level shit, but.
You fucking hated that movie.
We
bring it up so much because it's setting the standard of how bad a movie is to us. There's no anchor, that's for sure. But I wouldn't say it's a fucking Evil Dead Rise by any means.
No, not even close. Which sucks because it's Elijah Wood, but I feel like that's his shtick after... I don't even honestly know like any big movies that he's been in, but him and Daniel Radcliffe just make these fucking weird movies now.
You know,
I feel like they're the same person.
They basically are. You know what? You are 100% right. They just come out with these weird ass movies. And I think they're trying to shake that image of them in like their big roles, whether it's Harry Potter or it's
Flipper.
Flipper. Exactly. Lord of the Rings, buddy.
Oh, yeah. He was in Lord of the Rings. Forgot about it.
Yes. Yeah. He was in Lord of the Rings. So like those are their two big roles.
Shit.
Or, you know, Back to the Future where he played that little random kid in the restaurant. He's like, you have to play this game with a gun. That's a baby's toy. So that was in Back to the Future 2, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I completely forgot this dude played Frodo. That's fucking nuts.
How could you forget that?
Because I don't give a shit about Lord of the Rings. I love sci-fi and fantasy and stuff like that. But I've tried watching these movies before and they put me to sleep.
Fair enough. I'm actually kind of in the same boat. I've watched them. Just doesn't do it for me. I just couldn't get into it. I don't hate it by any means. It just was not for me.
Yeah, I remember when I was 16 years old and one of those movies, I think it might even have been the first one, came out. I was 16. I worked at McDonald's and I went to the movies with this kid to see it. One of the whatever movie it was. I didn't even make it through the whole movie. I fell asleep.
No shit. Wow. You know when a movie's like not that entertaining is when you legitimately fall asleep during it. And I bet you tried to go back, right? And then did you fall asleep again?
No, I didn't even try to go back.
Oh, jeez.
They're dead to me.
Yeah. You know, that actually kind of happened to me with Inglourious Basterds. You like Inglourious Basterds?
I did like that, actually. And I typically am not a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, believe it or not.
Wow. Okay. That's a hot take. If I thought anyone would like a Quentin Tarantino movie, I thought it'd be you.
I don't know. He's got a couple like bangers. I mean, obviously Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, but some of his later shit. Like Hateful Eight, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Django, oh, yeah. Shit, all shit.
You don't like Django Unchained? Oh, I love
no,
it.
No, no.
Oh, that's
shit.
That's, I love that movie. But I can see your point though, because later on in his career, it seems like he's putting out these movies that are just really fucking long, and it sometimes can be hard to sit through. Inglourious Basterds, I fell asleep trying to watch that movie four times, and I finally finished it. There's just too much dialogue sometimes.
There is like a lot of dialogue for sure, and it's very long too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 hours, something
yeah.
like that. So
okay,
I don't mind dialogue, it's fine. You know, going back into your like your whole sci-fi deal, I actually just watched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh dude, so good.
Oh my God. If there's ever a movie that people need to see, it's that one. It's a fucking fever dream.
That was like The Matrix in Japan, basically. And it was amazing.
It was front to back awesome. I can see why people don't fucking like it because it's hard to understand. But once you fucking get it, you're like, okay, it's about multiverses and accessing different versions of you in these different universes and taking in their special abilities into you, and you're using them.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I watched that. Joanne watched it on her own, and I had no interest in seeing it. And then she's like, Corey, you gotta watch this movie. And then a few weeks later, we watch it together, and at the end of the movie, I was like, can you explain this to me, because I'm lost.
Yeah,
but the visuals, like, no wonder that movie won an Academy Award.
Yeah, it fucking got a ton of Academy Awards. I mean, it was like best actor, best supporting actress, I think it was best movie, directing. It almost swept the whole fucking thing. It was fantastic, though.
It won movie of the year for 22, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I can see why. You know, sometimes these movies get all these fucking awards. They sweep all these awards, and you see it, and you're just like, mid. I don't get it.
I was just perusing your notes here, and I see your top one. What is up with that haircut? I was going to write that down, but I didn't know if we should waste time on talking about a haircut. But since you brought it up, what
fuck
the
it. Fuck?
It was like a bowl cut, but it was at the top of his head.
It was very odd, and I don't know. At that point, either shit or get off the pot. You might as well either get rid of it or go for broke and get a bigger bowl cut. Grow that fucker out and make your head look like a damn mushroom.
Dude, I rocked a bowl cut when I was younger. And
dude, you're not the only one. Me too. That was the style in the 90s. That was one of the styles, was the fucking bowl cut. And it's weird. I didn't use an actual bowl or anything. I think the idea of a bowl cut is that if you were to put a bowl on someone's head and you just cut straight around the bowl, that's the haircut. Everyone had it those days. It's very odd. Very odd. Yeah. His haircut was so fucking weird. That's why I thought I was going to be watching some like indie artsy fartsy type movie just by looking at it. That's why I'm saying never judge a book by its cover, but in this case it did feel like it was on the lines of real artistic type movie with some suspense, I guess.
Yeah, like don't judge a movie by the main character's haircut in the opening scene. I
yeah.
did exactly that.
You did. You were just like, nope, I'm done.
So this dude finally, like, after his dad has a, or this guy has a heart attack and fucking dies in the middle of the living room, he's hearing noises in the house. And I'm like, oh, somebody's in the house with him, or he's here, like ghosts or something like that.
Right.
Then he lifts up the rug and he finds a fucking trap door in the middle of the living room floor, opens the trap door. It's pitch black down there. He decides he's going to go down there with this little tiny flashlight.
Why not?
And for some reason, as soon as he did that, I'm like, his real dad's going to be down there. I had a feeling that his dad was going to be a hostage or some shit. Sure enough, there he was.
You fucking called it. Fucking, it just writes itself.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was there.
Because right before that, he was looking through a book of baby photos and saw him with a different guy. And he's just flipping through and he's like, this isn't right. This can't be right. And that's when he decided to investigate the sound, found that fucking weird trap door, which, okay, a weird trap door in the middle of the living room. I can guarantee you I'm stubbing my foot on that fucker.
It wasn't even like a normal trap door. It was like a fucking submarine cover.
It was so fucking ginormous. I'm surprised that little skinny hipster was able to pick it up.
Right?
He put his
muscles into that one.
I guess he did, but when he got down there, it was his actual father chained up and just beat the shit, you know, blood all over his chest, and his eyeballs all fucked up. And his dad's like saying, you don't have much time. They're coming back. You have to kill them. And Norval decides to hide in a little closet, whatever. And this fucking guy comes back. So one of his friends that he had a score with, some sort of heist job, I'm thinking. That's kind of what they were alluding to later on in the film. And that they did this score together and the friend is like trying to double cross him, whatever. He takes a fucking pen that was sitting in his own shit and stabs him.
Do you know what this pen is covered in? It's my poop. I'm going to stab you with the poop, and then you're going to get an infection, and then you're going to die.
But do you know what the funny part was that of that was? Is that he was like, it's excrement. No, it's extrament or whatever. Like they were going, yeah, they were going back and forth on what was called. Hell, I even have a hard time doing it. But I thought that was funny.
I was going to say, watching that part, I could hear you saying that. Trying to pronounce excrement.
Oh, because I can't pronounce shit.
Nope, not even if it's written down in front of you.
Nope, not at all.
So he ends up stabbing his father in the stomach with this pen, and then he leaves. And his father tells Norval that he has to remove these handcuffs from him.
Yep.
And the only way to do it is to break his fingers.
Oh, yeah, I was like watching this, cringing a little bit. He's like, think of it as 35 years of revenge or whatever. And so Norval breaks his actual father's thumb. And I'm assuming to break the thumb, it's just trying to be able to loosen it up so you can get through the handcuffs or the cuff that's binding him there.
Yep.
So he did that. And then the father's like, okay, that didn't work. So now we got to try the index finger. And they break the index finger, and that didn't work either. And so they found another approach of just trying to pick the lock.
So Joanne was taking a nap on the couch next to me while I was watching this. She woke up right at the finger cracking scenes, and she goes, oh, of course I woke up at this. And she got up and left the room.
Oh, man, that's the worst way to wake up. My guitarist, Sean, you know Sean. There was one time that we were watching Hostel. And it was the part, or actually it was Hostel 2. There was the part where the guy was getting attacked by the dogs, and he's just getting ripped to shreds, all that. And Sean wakes up to that particular part. He's like, this is the fucking worst way to wake up ever. Just seeing a guy getting ripped to shreds by two German shepherds. So that just reminded me of that whole thing.
I'm trying to remember, does that, whoever the dogs were ripping apart, somebody cut them so they would bleed out and attract the dogs, right?
Nope. Actually, this was one of the guys who paid to kill one of the tourists. And he's like, I can't do this. Like, somehow he developed a conscience and decided to walk away. Yeah, it's been a while. I actually just watched it last week because my girlfriend hasn't seen it. I'm like, well, it's a rite of passage. You have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let's put it on. We put them both on back to back. It was tough to watch. It's a tough movie to watch sometimes, especially the Achilles tendon in the first one. Ugh. Achilles tendons fucking kill me too.
Oh, yep. Definitely.
Yeah, because if you cut an Achilles tendon, that's it. You ain't fucking walking.
You can get it fixed.
I mean, you could get it fixed. It's going to take you quite a while to get back from that, though.
Yeah. Which leads me to my next point. The age-old semen versus ear debate. Which one of them has more protein?
Well,
what a weird fucking scene.
What a weird scene to have with your father. And he's going back. They're going back and forth. He's like, I ate my ear because I didn't want to drink the semen. And then Norval's like, well, like semen actually has more protein in it. And the father was like, it was yellow. And we're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So a little context to this. This person is actually apparently his father's best friend, he says. He tells him, he has him tied up and he gives him a choice. He says, you either eat your own ear or you're going to drink a cup of my semen.
Oh, my God.
And he chose to eat his ear.
Yeah, I guess.
Cut his ear off and eat it.
Yep. So I honestly probably would have gone the ear route.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know.
Semen's less permanent, dude.
Yeah, you're right, huh? I mean, what do you prefer? Do you prefer just guzzling that down real quick or eating your ear and just living with that for the rest of your life?
I might choose the warm stuff over losing the ear. Yeah, because I'm going to be able to hear tomorrow. You know what I mean? I'll brush my teeth a bunch of times.
Yeah. Gargle with all sorts of Listerine.
Yep. Listerine, yep. Fucking whiskey, you know.
Yep.
It's only temporary is my point.
Yeah. You make a good point there that it is temporary, whereas the ear is a constant reminder for the rest of your life.
Yep. And you can only hear out of one ear.
That too. And I'm already deaf as it is. So you make a good point.
So does that change your view on this?
Can I do half and half?
I don't think you can lose. I mean, you can lose half an ear.
Just take the earlobe. I'm like, I'll leave the rest. That way you get your chunk of flesh. Whatever. This is a fucking weird conversation.
And you'll drink half a cup of semen if you keep half your ear?
I guess.
Okay.
Worst of both worlds?
Okay.
Okay, so this whole
edit the last 20 minutes out of this podcast.
Yes. The problem is we still have less than 30 minutes to go, so we have time to talk about all this other shit. So yay is right. So what I didn't get to, though, is Norval tries to fight that guy. It doesn't go well. The guy escapes through that hatch. I would think that if he's the one that's able to escape through the hatch and the father and Norval are left behind, you'd think you'd lock it and let them starve to death. I mean, sounds like the logical thing to do, right?
Yeah, he didn't even bother locking it.
No, he made it way too fucking easy. Norval didn't have any cuffs on. He was just down there willy-nilly all having fun, catching up with dear old dad. And you'd think, you know what? I would have locked it. If I was that guy, I would have locked it and say, see you later. Good luck.
Yeah, I do like that whole scene, though, when Norval escapes the dungeon with his father. Norval finds that big guy taking a shit.
Oh.
So this giant guy just taking a shit. I assume this was the hunchback they kept talking about.
Yeah, it was the hunchback. They kept calling him the hunchback.
Okay. And Norval and the hunchback are just getting to this massive fight. Meanwhile, keep in mind, the hunchback doesn't have any pants on. It ends up in the kitchen. And Norval reaches into like a drawer or something and he grabbed a barbecue fork. Oh. What does he do with the barbecue fork, Steve?
Oh, my God. So the hunchback is just standing there and Norval's on the ground and he takes this fork and he just keeps stabbing him in the dick or balls or whatever, the whole package area. It just keeps going and going and going and just stab after stab. And I'm like, dude, okay, fucking stop.
There was so much blood.
Oh, it was like this guy is just standing there like taking it too. I would be like, ow, I'm out.
And he basically shook it off and started fighting him again until Norval takes care of him.
Yeah, fucking hits him with the saran wrap. But the thing with the saran wrap is those fucking bars that go through that are like
the cardboard.
Yeah, they're cardboard. That's right. They're cardboard. They are very tightly wound. So hitting someone with those is like hitting someone with a club. And then what does he do? He fucking takes the plastic wrap, saran wrap, whatever you want to call it, and just starts wrapping it around his face, suffocating the guy. And then, of course, he bashes his face in with it because it's a lot like a club. There's blood everywhere.
He hit him very excessively.
I didn't count how many times, but I know it was very excessive and there was blood everywhere. And the whole plastic wrap was just covered in blood.
Yeah, I love that scene. That scene was pretty cool. That was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, I would say that was probably the best part of the movie. I think, though, what Norval should have done is he should have got up, go to the bathroom, take a shit. They should have had that scene where he's taking a shit and finishing the job. And then he washes his face and goes back to his dad. And his dad would probably be like, what took you so long? He'd be like, I was just cleaning up a mess or something stupid. I can write this shit. Give me a chance, Hollywood.
It might have been better.
Maybe. It would have gotten a good laugh, I can assure you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that didn't happen, though. He left with his dad and the main guy that's running the whole operation here and keeping the father prisoner. He comes back with a freaking crossbow that's on fire. And Norval's like, I can't fight that. He's got a crossbow. So he decides he's going to hop into his trunk and fucking follow the guy back to this motel. And feel free to chime in.
The hotel was funny, though. I love that whole scene with Norval going into like the cashier's desk or whatever and asking to rent a room. And he tells him that everyone's in town for a geology conference. And then he was like, just kidding. They're here for, what did he say? It's a swingers convention or something.
Yeah, it was
like
some sort of
whispered it.
Yeah, he said it was some sort of swingers convention. But what I loved about him walking in is this guy is just so nonchalantly reading a Jugs magazine. Just looking at some boobs, no big deal on the job. Don't have to worry about HR, apparently. Nothing like that. Just fucking living his best life.
He's a titty holic.
He's a titty holic, he said. So Norval decides to come up with a plan like, hey, this is beautiful looking girl, suspicious girl outside that you need to check out. And of course the guy's like, well, I need to know, does she have big tits or whatever? And Norval's like, I'll just say that if she was going to the bra section to look, if she was going to the bra section to look for bras, she'd be in the double D's. And he's like, he's like, well, okay, well, I'll go check into that. It was a silly part. It was great though. I love that. You know those spikes that you have for the old-fashioned receipts? So it's got all those receipts on him. He takes it with him, and he's going to use that as like his primary weapon. And He manages to take the keys. He goes into an adjacent room. And you just said that there's a swingers convention happening. And of course, what do we see, Corey? Nothing but what?
Just a bunch of dicks.
Just a bunch of fucking dicks in that room. There's just so much cock and ball action happening.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's literally just laid out, balls out. And Norville's like, okay, I just got to be quiet, making my way through here. And meanwhile, they're all just kind of sleeping. And he's just trying to be as quiet as possible. He fucking steps on the remote. Everyone wakes up. And now it's fucking causing a ruckus. He goes through the door to the room that he wants to get in to kill the guy. And he's got this sex worker in there with him. And she's doing like one of those fucking things where her legs are around his neck and he's getting choked.
She's literally got him in a rear naked choke.
Yeah, she's got him in a rear naked choke. And some people are into that. You know, that's their thing. Yeah.
He was into it.
It's not for me. I know people die doing that stuff, but I'm good. I'm all set.
That lady was, her arms were massive.
Yeah, she was big. Her arms were massive. She was just a really muscular woman. She was big. It was funny. She also reminded me of this one NXT wrestler, Nikita Lyons.
I have no idea who that is. I don't pay attention to WWE anymore.
Look her up, or I'll just send it to you on Discord.
Do I need to do this in an incognito window?
No, you don't.
Nikita Lyons. Didn't she? Oh, I remember her. She just got hurt, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, she does this weird split move and she lands on people's chests. And the internet broke when they first saw it because they're like, oh my God.
Female Rikishi?
Yeah, basically.
A little stink face action.
Yep. So a lot of people are all about that. And that's who that reminded me of. That sex worker looked a lot like her. It just had a lot of similarities, like the hair. And Nikita Lyons is like jacked as shit. And she's a big girl. Not fat. I'm just saying she's just fucking got some muscle mass to her.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she's fucking ripped. So he makes it in the room. Norville ends up getting stabbed, all that stuff. And he gets a fucking that spike right through his face. The main villain, he was trying to go for his head, but fucked up and went right through Norville's cheek instead. He didn't end up dying, though. It looked like he did for a second. So the fucking main bad guy, he gets in his car, he drives off. I don't even know how this happened, Corey, other than the fact that Norville slashed his tires just before he went into like the hotel room. I know he slashed the tires, but I didn't think that would cause such an accident.
And now that you say that, that makes more sense to me because I actually missed the slashing of the tires because I couldn't figure out why he just randomly crashed into a fucking sign.
Yeah, because you would think if all your tires were slashed, you'd fucking know right away. You'd hear that boop, 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 that fucking sound, especially on every single one of them. And you wouldn't be able to fucking drive that thing at all. It'd be a fucking mess. So somehow he managed to just fucking go barreling down the road and hits a sign. So Norville's going after him. He's just walking ever so gingerly away from the car, looking like a zombie. And then Norville catches up to him and they just have this conversation about Norville's life and how his mother was a prostitute and his father got her pregnant while they were out or whatever. And that's how it happened, I guess. That's why they were never together, like the father and the mother. So they turn the camera and they show that half the guy's fucking head is like cut off. You see his brain out, basically pulsing. It was fucking gnarly.
I love how casual this whole scene was.
It was just casual.
It was casual. I thought it was nicely shot because it's like they have that whole conversation, then the camera pans and Norval pulls that receipt thing out of his cheek and he casually sticks it in the exposed part of the bad guy's brain
and then he
drops dead.
Yeah, but before he dropped dead he said Arthur. I didn't understand the Arthur part, but I thought it was funny because I guess when you touch the brain in certain spots you can do certain things like control or say weird shit. I've watched some of those surgeries and it's very fascinating. So I don't know if that was kind of the thing, like they just said, oh, you know what? Make sure you just ad-lib something when he puts a fake spike in your head. So maybe that's what he did. He just decided to yell Arthur. So
I didn't make that connection when that happened. I thought it was just more shit that didn't make sense.
Yeah, maybe I'll give the benefit of the doubt. They were actually that smart, but ultimately probably just wanted to make it as ridiculous as possible. I don't think they went too smart like I just did with it.
Yeah, you actually made it make sense with like actual facts.
Exactly. Yeah, I jumped the shark a bit there.
Yeah.
So pretty much that's it. He goes back to the cabin. His real father is laying there with a shit in his stomach from being stabbed, and he's just kind of looking out at the ocean, laying there. And Norval lays next to him, and he's all beat up too. And Norval's like, why did you write that letter? His actual father can't really answer. He's fucking dying at this point. And then they just hold hands.
Yeah, so you forgot to mention the part where Norval's walking back to the house. We finally hear what the letter said. You can hear his father narrating it while he's walking.
Mm-hmm.
So I was satisfied that we finally got to hear what the letter said. And also that whole scene on the beach when they grabbed hands, I thought that was sad as fuck. And it was like a really cool ending.
Yeah, that was.
Because they died together.
Yeah. So you think Norval died too?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. He closed his eyes and he was bleeding to death.
That's true. Because, yeah, he was bleeding out of the stomach. The father was dying. So, you know what? I didn't even connect that. I just figured the father died. But you're probably right that they both died together. And
yeah, it was kind of a, what do they say, poetic ending.
Yes, that would be a poetic ending, my friend. So, you know what? I like that ending. Other than that, because I didn't make that connection, I was like, oh, that's a weird ending. But now that you say that, it makes way more sense. And it does make it a more poetic ending, a kind of beautiful ending.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I thought.
Yeah, but I was glad to hear what was in the note, too. I would assume the only reason why he wrote the note is because he wanted to see him and he missed him. Even though he's been gone for that long, some people are still dads. You know,
yeah, he's trying to redeem himself and get to know his son.
Exactly.
So he wasn't trying to be a shitbag. Like, he did shitbag things when the kid was younger, obviously, by leaving him when he was 5 years old.
Yeah, but he did that because of, you know, because he was doing shitbag things. So
yeah.
It seems like he probably just wanted to turn his life around and reconnect with his son. And then that's it.
That's the movie.
That's the movie. That's it. It's not for everyone. Like, I wasn't a big fan of it. Corey, what did you give this for score?
I'm going sort of in the middle with this. I'm going 3 out of 5 dead kids. We sort of glanced on this before, how I thought the score, and I love the sound effects too, the sound design. But it seemed like, to me, this film didn't really know what it wanted to be. Like, it wanted to be a horror comedy or a drama. I don't know. I thought it was very slow, as we've touched on this whole episode. Really not a lot happened until like the last few minutes of the movie. Not your typical slow burn to some massive climax, what we're used to. Just very, very slow and like, minimal payoff. I don't want to watch this movie again.
Yeah, I don't think I want to watch this movie again either. You know what? That's something we didn't really bring up was the score. I thought the score was pretty great too. It had some good sound effects to it. So I can commend it for that, but it's not going to make the movie that much better for me. So I decided to go with a 2 out of 5. I thought this movie was just, it was really boring for a long time. And then when I saw the twist, I was like, okay, I know where this is going now, and I can appreciate it. But that was still an hour in. So you're just going to waste time for an hour before something actually happens. So 2 out of 5 for me. I won't watch it again, but feel free to watch it. To each their own. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you won't.
Yeah. If you like artsy fartsy shit, go watch it.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you, by the way. I don't think this movie really knew what it was going to be either, because yes, it started off as kind of a drama, and then there was some funny shit happening, and then it was very dramatic where he's laying down with his father and trying to get the coroner to come over and spend time with him, and it was just like weird shit like that, and then it kicked into overdrive with the whole hostage situation deal.
What was that? He instantly fell in love with the coroner that came over to look at his dead fake dad.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. There's a place and time for that shit. That's not the place nor the time at
all. That part there is another reason I thought that all of this was going to be a dream.
Or he was just going fucking crazy. You know, he saw his father die, quote unquote father. So he sees him die and then he starts going crazy. I didn't know if it was going to be some telltale heart bullshit, because you mentioned that there was a William Shakespeare quote at the very beginning, which I actually just missed because I literally looked down to take some bite of food and then it was gone before I saw it.
Yeah, the William Shakespeare quote, I kind of thought, like, shit is going to be, like, a very chaotic movie, because that's what Shakespeare was.
Yes, exactly. But I don't think it turned out that way.
Nope, not at all.
So, with that in mind, I think we can wrap it up here.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go for it. So
I got to go save Hyrule.
Yeah, okay. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. And of course, be sure to tell your friends. We're also a part of the Shining Wizards Network. Visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal and horror stuff. So definitely check it out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. If there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use the hashtag 30screamsorless, and we'll talk that way. Also, we have a shirt design being made at this time. We've seen rough sketches. It's really cool. As soon as we get it all squared away, we'll fucking throw that stuff up and you can start buying our shirts.
Yeah, and all you people that said you would buy one, if we ever made one, you better fucking follow through with this.
We're looking at you.
Yeah, I'm keeping a list.
We got to make a few bucks. We got to pay you for hosting.
Yep.
All right, everyone. With that said, I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to puke up the beans you ate today and then eat it. They taste just as good the second time.
Oh, man.
Again with that. We had leftover beans from last week.